I started on a different medication. Here's a photo, because this is just how crazy. I think it's just outrageous. I think it's ridiculous. Anyone in oncology anyway, nobody should be having to pay ridiculous prices for any type of care that's connected with your oncology, specialty care, overall care. Let's just say for your specialist, because oncology is always going to lead. When things continue progressing, they usually generally will lead everyone on your overall care. But this is ridiculous. I mean, again, over a grand. If I didn't have two insurance policies, it'd be over $3,800 a month. And that's just ridiculous. But, you know, sometimes it is what it is. Got to take it. But I got fortunate, you know, two insurance plans. And thank God I didn't even have to pay close to what I would have without it. But I started that, hasn't been a week yet, and it's pretty strong. So the first day, I definitely felt the side effects. And it could go either way, as I was told. You could either experience the extreme weight gain, or you could experience extreme weight loss, meaning you just lose your appetite completely. And then you've got the 50% that does that, and you got the other 50% of patients that end up having increased hunger, and they tend to want to eat all day, and have a real hearty appetite and always craving different kinds of food, and gain a lot of weight. And I know, of course, I ended up the other extreme that I didn't need, which was a completely, within the first 40 hours, completely killed my appetite. And not that I didn't have much of an appetite to start with. I'm still dealing and just accepting and understanding with GI issues, with secondary complications again, that this is the new part of my journey, and it's still been rough, and I don't think I'll ever gonna get used to it. You just deal with it. I think any patient can agree with that, because you never know what side effects you're gonna get long term. Oncology cannot tell you that, because every patient's different, but I'm just learning to accept it the best I can. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around this new part of the journey, so to speak. But unfortunately, the medicine completely just zapped any kind of desire to want anything to eat. It's very strange, because it alters your taste buds, which is another side effect. So also taking meds and having it compound to film and paper, taking it that way, which I have to now, it does mess with your taste buds, because you have to place everything inside of, you know, your mouth, your cheek, and it has to dissolve. And instead of orally or through a liquid, this is the way that we realize works best for me. So everything has to be ordered in advance now, and usually placed. So at least the pharmacies say at least a week in advance. They're not used to handling drugs like this, but they can get it in through the pharmaceutical company, but it just takes a little bit longer. I had one drug, took 2 weeks, so I have to be careful and plan ahead, and then they order a little bit more just to keep me to where I don't, you know, have any, because it's not the kind of med you can just go cold turkey and not have any on standby in case it is running late from the pharmaceutical company. But unfortunately, the side effects, I went the opposite of what they were hoping, that it may increase my appetite for me to, you know, get some weight up, but it didn't happen that way. And I went pessimistic that it was going to end up just eliminating what little I have of appetite. Nothing tastes good. You can't really taste anything. It's very strange. It's like everything I eat, anything I taste tastes like salt. So strange, salty taste. Even like eating like a small thing of like, you know, like creamy peanut butter, I can't taste the peanut butter. All I taste is salt. Very weird. What these meds, when you're using it and, you know, taking it as film and paper, the medicine's placed on a really, really thin, 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 super thin film, and it basically dissolves in your mouth. You have to place it inside of your cheek and that. And that's the way I've been having to take medicine for a while now, at least a couple of months. But it is, maybe my taste buds completely different. Like, you can't taste anything. So it's like, if you can't taste anything, it's weird. You really don't, you're not hungry. You don't eat anything. So it's not helped with the weight gain. I've not gained anything back. Unfortunately, to say the least, but I'm just trying to get used to all this. And it's tough for gastroenterology, because we know this is just the part of the problem that's come back again after 7 years. Here we are again, but now we're worse now than we were before, but we knew that. And I just, you know, I'm just, was he tired of dealing with it? It's just sometimes I realize lately I just don't want to deal with it. Best way to say it. You know, that's where therapy kicks in. And we talk about, you know, because I have therapy every week, once a week at least, sometimes twice, as we talk about how am I doing now compared to last time we spoke. And that's how we always start the conversation. And they're talking about, you know, the shenanigans that people cause, like the IRS stuff and where we're at with that. Or people just literally ganging up on the phone. I mean, you two literally ganged up on the phone on me. I mean, you had me on speaker on something that should have never, ever went the route of ganging up on me and making lewd comments about my choice in men and just things that had nothing to do with anything of what we should have been adult communicating about. And you took some low blows and low punches and then you gang up on me. And both of you to do that is just, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that. This literally happened, folks. It was disturbing as hell. And, you know, the next day, of course, I have a therapy session. It's the first thing we talked about. Not good. And certainly, as she said, not okay. That's not a behavior of no. Those two, no, that never should happen. You know? No. Mm-mm. No. So I kind of just wrapping my brain between that and IRS stuff and some weird things. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around logically understanding and accepting things, you know? Always told that it's the past. And oh no, not want to deal with anything negative. Adult, let's not talk about it. Nobody has to apologize for anything. It's such the wrong way to live in life. That it's now a therapy is acceptance and you accept no matter how long it takes, is this happened. You know, and this happened. And we have to accept this happened. And this is not normal behavior at all by these people. This is not normal. I'm sorry, it's far from normal. It's disturbing. We don't do that to people. But it was just, you know, ganged up by two people on the phone. It was not okay. I hung up. That's how that ended. I hung up. I should have hung up a heck of a lot sooner. But I'm going to stick up for myself. I'm not the same person. I'm going to speak my mind. And I'm going to speak my truth. And I'm going to stick up for myself. Too many times I let people walk on me. And that's not okay. Not okay. Let's just say if anyone heard that conversation, they wouldn't have been okay with that either. You know, jabs, blows, whatever, low blows, I don't care, you know. I'll say it again. There's absolutely no respect at all that majority of people have for people that deal with their health. It's long term. People don't respect people when they're dealing with their health long term. We should be respecting what people are going through, regardless if you understand it or not. And you may be going through something yourself, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the same. It's never going to be the same. Nobody's journey is ever the same with their health, no matter what they're struggling with. But you don't make matters worse by being a bully either, because that was not okay. It was dealing with two bullies at once. I don't know how else to look at it. It was disturbing as hell. Disturbing as hell. And I really had nothing podcast to say, because I'm still trying to make sense of this. I'm looking at trauma therapists for them to make sense of this, because this is the last part of therapy where we make sense. And she's able to provide closure of telling me what makes people tick and why they've done the things they have. And in an analyzing way is this is why, and getting into why people do things, you know, the reaction and the reason and the cause and the response and really dissecting, analyzing it. And this is pretty disturbing for her, because it wasn't okay. That was the last thing they needed to do. And you've done enough. You just, you know, you just keep knocking that nail in the coffin, so to speak, you know, saying, okay. So I'm trying to just take the time that I need to make sense of things and accept it. And that's really where I'm at. And then, of course, you know, you deal with sudden changes with your health that I have never experienced before. I'm trying to maneuver through that. And there's times too where I'm allowing myself to rest because I need more than a nap. You know, there's days I need 12 hours of sleep. There's not, should I, or maybe it's, I really cannot get up. So, you know, there's days when things are hitting harder with my body internally and I sleep 12 hours and that's what it is. You know, it is what it is. So for you listening, saying that I would not make a good parent at all to the in-laws and calling them up, if people really knew you did this, you're friends with, they would not be okay with you doing that. Trust me, you would be losing a lot of friends. And saying that all I do is sleep in that, is you truly don't understand illness at all. You don't understand, and you have no feelings. You have no heart. You have no sympathy or couth for anybody sick. And that's strong opinion. I mean, I don't have any other way or means to say that because it's not what you say and do. I mean, you could have introduced yourself. Instead, you came in really, I mean, a way that's, I mean, it's just, it's all disturbing. The whole thing's disturbing. Now that I look at it logically and cut the emotion out, because that did me no good. Looking at logic, it brings you closure, you know, and peace and that. But, you know, yes, I'm at sometimes 12 hours a day. I still would do circles around you. Fact. Yeah, there's some things I wouldn't be doing, period, that you've done. I don't go keeping kids away from people, allowing people, you know, kids are right to get to know everybody. You don't do that stuff, you know? I don't go ganging people up and trying to, you know, manipulate people or whatever the hell, what the hell you were doing, you know? Bullying, whatever the hell, control, per therapist, extreme control. And then ganging up and banding together, extreme control, is disturbing as hell, too. Sorry, folks, went through it. It's not a joke, not a lie. Wish I could say this was all fabricated, made up. It's just not. I was just silenced and threatened and manipulated for a long time. And it's about time, you know. I really explained what happened because it's the truth. But I have just really been trying to get used to the changes and acceptance of this is where I'm at in the journey, and I have to sleep, you know, can't fight it, you know, you're tired, your body's tired, your mind's not, so it's kind of like you're battling your body and your mind, you know, and who's going to win at the end? Well, I mean, you're tired, your body's tired, it's obviously your body's going to win, but, and then the days, you know, making sure I do nice things for myself still, and you still do things to make you happy, and that's just life in general, and making sure I carve me time that I should have been doing a lot more throughout my life for the past decade, and I didn't do it. You know, a lot of things I did and taking other people places and things, you know. Did I enjoy myself? Yeah, but it was always thinking about everybody else first, and if a great lesson learned is you got to, you know, fill your cup first and make sure you put yourself first a lot too. Put yourself, your happiness and yourself first. It's not being selfish. It's just you have to. It's self-love, you know. You got to make yourself happy too and do nice things for yourself. So I'm getting ready to, I promise myself, you know what, got some new nails, got some new design and going to do my nails. Finish those up tonight, which I'm going to do. And then I need to, you know, I need to lay down early. It's been a long day. Driving veterinarian stuff with Snore and taking him today and doing some other things and get ready to take my last medicine. And let's just say I don't last that long and I'm out and I sleep solid, and really about being comfortable is what it's all about. But still my good days is, you know, still enjoying life. I can't plan ahead. I plan by the day, and sometimes I plan by the hour, and sometimes I plan by the moment, but laughter and humor, incorporating that again, I mean, it's like, it's almost like that part of me has been frozen for so long that I forgot part of me, which is my personality, is I always like to laugh. I always love to smile, and I've always had that sense of humor throughout my life. And when you're constantly being nitpicked and constantly being bullied, because I don't have no other word for it, you lose yourself and you forget what makes you you. Part of you and your personality and what made you and you lose. I'm ecstatic to say is I picked right back up where I left off, where I forgot about, is part of my personality, is my sense of humor. And I love doing skits and I love doing silly things, and I've had my whole life. And out of it is something I can look back, you know, and smile and laugh during hard times. Skits are great for that. But also, it's been nice to have people reach out that say they look forward to getting up in the morning and seeing what kind of crazy off-the-wall skit I'm doing, whether it's car sounds, pretending like, you know, when you were a kid and you're driving the car, but the car's really in park, to The Shining, here's Johnny. I mean, just crazy things, normal things, opening up a dishwasher and realizing that your glasses literally you can't see because the steam gave you a sauna when you expect. I mean, just things that are normal things in life. You know, when you order the wrong food, you know, it's just silly, goofy things. And I have to say is I've poured my heart into doing that on my good days because that's what I like to do. That's my outlet. And it's probably always been my outlet. I was silenced for a long time. I couldn't be me, you know? It's part of control because that's what they wanted. And that's it's an opinion of professionals, you know? I'm just looking at what they're looking at. As they said, I'm looking outside and looking in. Or you're not seeing, we are. So I've been doing a lot of skits, and it's been nice. You know, other people, you know, like a woman who lost her mom to Parkinson's just last month, to someone that's just struggling with just depression and that, and having some light-hearted sense of humor and things to wake up and little skits. And that's really what it's all about, you know? I feel like if I don't find it funny, it's not going to be funny. But if it's just random stuff is what I've been doing. And I'm telling you, it's been... It is a huge outlet for me. And I never laugh so hard. You know, you can be sick and still laugh. You got to still be able to laugh. No matter what you're struggling in with. Not suffering, what you're struggling with. The world lacks laughter. You know, it really does. You know, we're so serious. And there's so much serious stuff out there. And not to say war and things like that. And what's going on over in, you know, with the war in Israel. And, you know, and all those kids that are starving. And I mean, really serious things going on in the world, not just United States. But, you know, it's hard to learn and understand that we still have to incorporate laughter in life in anything but a society that's very sad and very dark. And here we're back in summer with global warming. God knows we got the cicadas again. And I'm sure the hell we'll probably have some funny content, not to mean it, because I am petrified of cicadas. If I could buy one of those body things with the net to keep them away to walk outside, I will. I just won't walk outside. I do not like those things. I'm petrified that Blue's going to, oh, she tries to eat them. It's just, you know, I'm not looking forward to them. I was hoping God called me home before the next, you know, the next bringing of the cicadas. And now we got two different types broads. I mean, I'm not looking forward to that, but it's been nice to laugh. So if anybody is listening to this podcast and you know what channel I'm coming from, you know, and you listen to, and you just happen to find me here, you know, welcome to the serious side of me, cause you're not going to get it. And you know, you don't get on the other one, but, I'm just getting ready to do another Shining skit. You know, like a 5-minute skit. And then finish my nails. And I'm going to lay down with Snore. He's had a very long day, a lot of testing, and catching a good sleep. But that's it. I mean, there's not really a lot to talk about, you know? I understand when people get further in their journey, they kind of disappear. You don't hear from them a lot. I think it's just natural to really conserve your energy and use it very meticulously and wisely. You get a lot more selfish with your time and how you use it. And that's the truth. And finding a happy medium, a happy balance between everything you're going through and still incorporate time for you. Cause that's important as can be. I mean, that's really important. And of course, you know, the most important thing is no matter how serious life is it never can be too serious enough to where you have to find a reason to smile daily. And if you can, by all means, please don't forget to laugh, because laughter is the greatest gift you can give yourself. And it beats anything in this world. And just being able to share it with others, you know, struggling and going through hard times, there's nothing that turns a bad day over than having a reason to laugh and smile. And it's priceless to be able to share with other people as well. So I wish everyone a great rest of this week. And I'll call me St. Patrick's Day. And I'll be darned if I turn around and I put St. Patrick's Day up. If I'm going to be turning around and putting the Easter Bunny stuff up. And then it's like I feel like in the United States, we just go from holiday to holiday to holiday to holiday. And I haven't even got used to time change from this weekend yet, but I just think this summer is just, the spring and summer is going to fly by, and I don't feel like we even had a winter, but two things of snow, that was it. Let's just hope global warming is not going to be as bad as last year, but I have a feeling it's going to show no mercy. It's going to be no different, probably worse. So it all means, you know, you have the platform and you have, you know, you have that personality of laughing, but creating laughter, you know, by all means, please don't hesitate, you know, don't worry about what other people think. Be as silly and goofy as you can be, you know, because the thing is not only do you need to laugh, but the world needs, most definitely, without a doubt, the world needs a hell of a lot more laughter.